I wonder if you've ever received a parcel through the post and written on that parcel are these words. Handle with care. Handle with care. And that, dear friend, is really our theme this evening. Handle with care. Just as the Lord deals so graciously with us and handles us with care, so we are called to handle one another with care. You may remember that I reminded you this morning that these two themes we were going to think of, this morning we thought of the assurance of the unfailing presence of God with us. In that wonderful text, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, go over this Jordan. And this evening I want us to think on this theme, the assurance of the unfailing compassion of the Lord toward us. Handle with care. And you'll find that in our text in Isaiah 42, verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Wonderful words. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Why? Because he handles his children with care. Did you know that? You might have passed through some time of affliction and chastisement, and you might say, well, the Lord chastised me. He gave me a season of affliction. And here you come this evening and say, he handles me with care. Yes, 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 he does. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, no chastening for the present is joyous, but afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby, because he handles us with care. We read Psalm 51, not just because we needed to read a psalm, but as we go through that psalm, we're not going to do that this evening, but as you go through that psalm, time and time again, you find that David comes to the Lord in a spirit of repentance, a broken heart. He knows that he has grievously sinned, and all that he can do is to throw himself upon the mercy of God and to recognize that God handles with care. And in that wonderful psalm, over and over again, hide thy face from my sins, create in me a clean heart, cast me not away from thy presence, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David is aware of this fact, beloved, that God deals gently and lovingly with repentant sinners. However grievously you may have sinned, if you tread that pathway of repentance, if you take your place beneath the cross of Jesus afresh tonight, coming with a broken heart, he will not despise you. He will not reject you. He will not turn you away. He's not like that. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax he shall not quench. Now, there are some commentators who believe that as you read the first verse of this chapter, it's speaking of the Christian believer. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. But I believe it's not written here of the believer, the elect. It's written of the servant of the Most High God. And as you read through this chapter, it's quite evident, surely, that this is the Lord himself dealing with his children in love and in tenderness. He shall not cry. A bruised reed shall he not break. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. So this is the work of Christ, the work of our Saviour, for his children, his loved ones. Handle with care. There's a confession here to be made, isn't there? We understand that this reed was used by shepherds in Bible days to make a small musical instrument. But once it was cracked or worn, it was useless. The melody was removed. No tune, no harmony, no melody. I wonder, dear friend, if that's something like your life tonight. Do you feel cracked, bruised? Do you feel that you failed the Lord and that melody and that sense of joy and peace isn't there as it once was? The joyous note is no longer clear. And you have to hang your heads, perhaps in shame, like David of old. And perhaps you have to say tonight, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And beloved, listen, he will, if you mean it. He handles his children with care. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoky flax he will not cut off. Matthew Henry says these wonderful words, Jesus Christ is very tender toward those that have true grace, though they are but weak in it, and accepts the willingness of the Spirit, pardoning and passing by the weakness of the flesh. Jesus Christ is very tender. Isn't that wonderful? We can be so hard one toward another, even as Christians. So sad. When one Christian is discussing with another Christian, perhaps it's of another believer, hardness, cruelty. Our Savior isn't like that. Jesus Christ, says Matthew Henry, is very tender toward us. He does not deal with us after our sins. He does not reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. A bruised reed. Yet, dear friend, there is hope. There is hope tonight. Hallelujah. There's hope for each one of us. The scripture says a bruised reed. Doesn't say a broken reed. Take note of that. It's a bruised reed. And perhaps you're feeling bruised tonight. Someone might have said something about you that's hurt you. Been like a dagger into your being. You wish you hadn't heard it. You wish that you never knew of it. Yet there is hope. Bruised, but not broken. Someone has rightly said, the servant, does not use mere naked power, but rather infinite patience. Isn't that wonderful? And that's why I say we turn over and over again to that Psalm 51, and many psalms like it, where the psalmist reminds us that God deals graciously and lovingly and tenderly with his children. What is the pathway of healing? You may feel broken and bruised tonight. What is the pathway? I'll tell you. It's the pathway that David trod. Confession. Confession is vital for healing. And confession for healing, that path can be very humbling. Very humbling and very painful at times. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. There are a number of things that may crush us and almost seem to break us. And as the hymn writer says, almost seem to drive us to despair. What are they? There are times when we feel our weakness in knowledge of the Lord. And we're so ready to judge him. And we're so quick to demand an easier road. A bruised reed he will not break. We can so often feel our weakness in love. in love for our Saviour. We know something of that weakness that we may have in faith. Once we were strong in our faith, and now it seems to be almost broken and extinguished. Or in hope, or in joy. There may be a time that you can remember in your Christian life and experience when you were overwhelmed with joy. And you read such verses as joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you felt, as it were, in the third heavens. But now, tonight, this cold, foggy night, you may feel broken, bruised, battered. Everything in which we should be strong, we may be feeling very, very weak. And perhaps we're not able to say with confidence, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We read that verse, or reminded ourselves of that verse this morning, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, then am I strong. But the heart seems to lie heavy. The load seems almost too great to bear. Another time that we can feel bruised and broken and battered is in times of constant guilt. You might say, well, so often when you come to Witten Chapel, you raise this note. And I do so again tonight. Because we do meet Christian believers. Are you listening? Christian believers whose joy seems to be so weak and they feel so broken. And you share with them and you pray with them. And sometimes it's because they feel that constant weight of guilt. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. I love that text. Here you see the compassion of Christ for a bruised one, a battered soul. Satan desires to have you, but I have prayed for thee. He wants to sift you. He wants to knock you about. He wants to trouble you. He wants you to be filled with anxiety and despair. Handle with care. I have prayed for thee. Isn't that tremendous, my dear friend? George Swinnick says, it is guilt which makes us shy of God. It is guilt which makes us shy of God. Thirdly, in such times when we feel that we have utterly failed the Lord. Have you ever been there? Come on, be honest. Don't tell me. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. In times when you might have felt that you have utterly failed the Lord, by some sin, by some evil thought, by something you know you should never have done, and you wring your hands in despair and you say, I'm not a believer, I couldn't have been a believer if I've done that, if I've said that, if I've thought that. Oh, we have the wonderful, wonderful illustration of Peter, don't we? What an illustration. Peter, who said with vehemence and anger perhaps, I know not the man. I don't know Christ. And then you read, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, what a look. Handle with care. Handle with care. And he does. And he did. He did for Peter. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter went out and wept bitterly. And he felt that the whole of the world, his world, had collapsed around him. But when the Saviour rose, go tell my disciples, you know the text, and Peter. Oh, that's tremendous, isn't it? That's tremendous. Go tell my disciples and Peter. There's the infinite compassion of our Saviour. He could have ignored him. He could have said, let's forget Peter. He seemed to be one of my faithful servants, but he's gone. He's finished. Broken reed. Haven't time for him. Handle with care. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:18, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But he doesn't stop there. I thank God through Christ. Handle with care. So he does. When we feel so wretched and so overwhelmed, and when we feel that we've failed him miserably, and we cry out, oh, wretched man, oh, wretched woman that I am. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. John Newton wrote those wonderful words which are so relevant now. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. You see, he's being put through the crucible, the discipline. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. So if you're like a bruised reed tonight, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to deal compassionately, tenderly with you, a bruised reed. He will not break. But then the text says, the smoking flax shall he not quench. The love for Christ within my heart, you might say tonight, is almost extinguished. That's the picture here. You know what it's like, the flame of the candle. And it's just flickering. It hasn't gone out completely, but it's just flickering. And the word tells us tonight, that smoking flax, he shall not quench. He won't blow it out. He won't snap it out. He won't soak it with water, so it goes out. The church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Abandoned the love that you had at the first. And you might say, how is this possible? How is this possible for a believer to know such an experience? I want to suggest one or two things. Basically, because other loves have captivated your heart. Other loves. Some things come that to you is more important than your spiritual growth and your spiritual welfare and your love for Christ. That's what it is, dear friend. Face up to it. Face up to it. Smoking flax. How is it possible? Other loves have captivated. Come first. The love of self. Great danger in pandering to the flesh. The love of self, self-glory, self-elevation, self-satisfaction, that can hinder our spiritual growth. To, as it were, sit back in comfort, folding our arms with ease and say, soul, soul, why are you troubled? Why are you anxious? Why are you concerned about spiritual growth? Put those thoughts away. Everything's all right. The love of self. I think it's illustrated for us in that Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their own soul. Now think about that for a moment, dear friend. He gave them their request. Things that you and I may be demanding of God to make our Christian lives more comfortable and more easy and more rosy. He may give those. But oh, the possibility of spiritual leanness. That's dreadful. That's dreadful. This cruel self, oh, how it strives and works within my breast to come between me and my God and keep me back from rest. Or it could be the love of the world. Not just the love of self, but the love of the world can so encroach upon us and almost cause the flame to be extinguished, which we once had for our Lord and our Saviour and our Redeemer. There was a time in our Christian lives, perhaps, when we said, Lord, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything for you and for the cause of your kingdom. And now, bit by bit, the love of the world has come in. And if you're in that condition tonight, dear friend, you need to read and reread John's epistle. 1 John chapter 2, where John drives home this tremendous lesson. Love not the world. Of course, we're in the world. But oh, how the world, with all its seeming attractions, can overwhelm us. And we become dissatisfied with what we have in Christ. And we long for even more. Remember, the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall endure. The world is like a passing vapor. It's like an empty dream. May God give us grace to be able to say afresh this evening, and yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart. Dear Saviour, it's almost extinguished. Please forgive me. Yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart. And I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art. A confession to be made. A bruised reed. Smoking flax. A comforting assurance is now promised. The reed shall he not break. And as one author has said, the sovereign Lord is quietly considering our frame. Isn't that wonderful? He knows the weak areas of our lives. He knows the ways in which we seem at times to be so far from him. A comforting assurance is promised tonight, believer. The reed shall he not break. Remember that he deals gently and tenderly with his own. You only have to read the gospel record and note the numbers of times which this shines out so beautifully and clearly, the tender and gentle ways in which Christ dealt with one and another, to whom he was ministering and helping. Handle with care. I love that verse in Isaiah 40 verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a lovely picture of our Saviour handling his sheep. We who at times are so foolish, we who at times go astray, we who sin against him in word, thought and deed, he shall feed his flock. He gently deals with us. Isaiah 61 verse 1. He has sent me to bind up the broken hearted. He will not leave those who have been overthrown by some fierce blast of temptation and almost broken off from him to perish. He will not leave us. He will not. Where there is great weakness, Christ will manifest his tenderness, his healing touch. And he whispers into our ears, "None shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. None shall pluck them out of my hand." So I trust we're able to say with the Apostle Paul tonight, "I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Because he handles us with care. The psalmist could say in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Listen, though you fall, you shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In tenderness he sought me. Bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. He's the divine potter shaping that vessel. And there's a flaw in it. And it's being marred only slightly. And he doesn't throw away that lump of clay, those wonderful words. "So he made it again." Hallelujah. He made it again. Time and time and time again. The smoking flax, like a candle just blown out, which still smokes and retains a feeble spark of light. Is that you tonight? Just a feeble spark. There's hope. "He shall not quench." One version says, I believe, "He shall not snuff out." "He will not grind it to the ground." All these descriptive pictures of the way that we sometimes treat others, even within the household of faith. Snuff them out. Grind them to the ground. My Savior isn't like that. He handles with care. So as we close, let's just apply these things to our hearts and minds in a practical way. First of all, I'll suggest, dear friend, how grateful we should be to our Heavenly Father in his gracious dealings toward us. Every day, we ought to thank our Heavenly Father, as we've already said, that he doesn't deal with us as we deserve. How grateful, how overwhelmed we should be that our Heavenly Father deals graciously with us. Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless and praise his holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." That's great cause to bless the Lord. Because the gracious way in which he deals with us. Or Psalm 130, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. For thou, Lord, hast not dealt with us after our sins. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward those that love him." So never forget, daily thank the Lord for the gracious way in which he handles you, he deals with you, he shapes you, because he loves you. Secondly, how prayerful we should be in our daily walk with God. How prayerful we should be in our daily walk with God. The psalmist could say in Psalm 143, verse 8, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Or the Apostle Paul could say to the Colossians, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So as we are engaged in our Christian walk, day by day, so we should be increasing in the knowledge of God. And that means we are being made more and more aware of how God deals with us, so in our daily Christian walk, we handle others with care. And thirdly, how tenderly we should care for others. My mind goes to those wonderful verses in Romans 15. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. Even Christ pleased not himself. Now the God of patience, consolation, grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You might say, I find it very hard to get on with brother so-and-so, brother sister so-and-so. I can't really have much fellowship with them. Ah, stop a moment. As Christ has received us. What a note. Deal gently. As Christ has received you and me, with all our hardness, with all our judgmental spirits, he's received us, he's welcomed us, he's loved us, he's brought us into his family. And we failed him so often, but he hasn't broken us and discarded us. And the light has almost been extinguished, but he's used that and raising up the flame. Paul could say to the Thessalonians, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers at Thessalonica. And what he's really saying is this, be gentle one toward another. Be loving one toward another, like a mother, like a nurse, caring for her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, says Paul, because you were dear unto us. Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? That we ought to be able to look one another straight in the eyes and be able to say by word and by deed, you were dear unto us, because he has dealt lovingly with me. William Reeve, with this I close, he gives us a very solemn thought here, and I came across this recently. William Reeve, I don't know much about the good man, but what he says is true. A censorious Christian is utterly unlike Christ. Unnecessary wounds, innumerable, have been inflicted, unspeakable mischief done by the severe and rash judgments of narrow-minded Christians. Let us remember what we once were, to whom we are indebted. I think that's a very sobering, solemn, closing thought. Before I become too judgmental of another believer, before I become too hard and harsh, let me remember what I am but by the grace of God, and where I might have been had it not been for his mercy. So Charles Wesley says, make us of one heart and mind, courteous, pitiful, and kind, lowly, meek in thought and word, altogether like our Lord. Altogether like our Lord. In tenderness he sought me, weary, sick with sin, and on his shoulder laid me and brought me home again. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. A bruised reed he will not break. Thank God for that. Smoking flax he will not quench. He will not snuff it out. Oh, the patience of our God. Oh, the patience of our God. Let us pray. We go from this place, O God, our Heavenly Father, with humbled hearts. We say afresh this evening, by the grace of God I am what I am. Grant, O Lord, that we may learn to love one another, even as Christ has loved us. Grant, O Lord, that we may love brothers and sisters from other fellowships, if they are thy redeemed people. Grant, O Lord our God, that we will not deal hardly or harshly with any of thy family, because thou hast dealt so gently and so patiently and so wonderfully with us. To thy name be all the praise and all the glory. Amen.